when we feel busy all the time, what it means is we're not thinking. We go on to, as I mentioned earlier, we go into autopilot. And I think that's what people need to be aware of. Am I just doing something to do it? Or is it actually something that is actually serving me?
That's Scott Stein. And I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Scott Stein is an international speaker and expert on leadership and influence, who helps many of the world's best-known brands and government agencies mobilize their leaders and their people. He joins us to talk about his book, Leadership Hacks: Clever Shortcuts to Boost Your Impact and Results. Scott, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Dan. Great to be here.
Well, first of all, let's clarify what you're referring to in the title of your book. What do you mean by the term leadership hack?
Yeah, so if you think about it, what I've found, and, you know, I'm based in Australia, Sydney, Australia, and I do lots of work in America, and everywhere I go, I'm finding that people are looking for shortcuts. They're looking for little hacks that can be simplified steps that make a task easier to do, or a fast-track process that speeds things up, or maybe even a shortcut that's not commonly known. And that's what a hack is all about. And leadership hacks are kind of these little tools that leaders can use to get more things done in less time.
So why did you want to write this book?
Yeah, it's an interesting story. I've been working in consulting and doing lots of speaking with different people around the world. And geez, about a year and a half ago, I was meeting with a client. We were mapping some things out, and I have used and taught different hacks that I've learned from different leaders from around the world. And we were going through a particular hack. I think it was the delegation hack. I was going through that model with him. And he said, well, can you create a white paper so I can actually have this captured and make it easier for my team? And I did that. And then he came back to me and said, oh, you've got more of these, right? And I said, yeah. He said, well, can you just write a book? I just want a book so I can actually give it to my people across, not just my team, but the organization. And that's really where it came from.
Well, in that book, you write that there are three main keys to hacking leadership. So can you walk us through those?
Yeah. I think the thing that a lot of leaders know that they need to do is they know that the world has changed, things are faster than what they used to be, and the way that they actually deal with their people, they know that that needs to be done differently. And what I'm finding is a lot of them know it, but they're not really sure how do they do it. So I actually, in my research, I found there's kind of three key strategies or things that leaders need to be aware of if they do want to hack their approach. The first one is their mindset. And mindset is really about having a mindset that they believe that they can continue to learn and try new things. It was interesting. I was working with a group of car dealership owners. And this gentleman, he was probably almost in his late 70s. And as I was working with him, he had this little notebook and he kept taking it out and taking notes. And I checked in with him at one of the breaks. His name was John. I said, John, just want to double check on, you know, are you getting everything? He said, oh, I said, I noticed you're writing some things down. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, you know, although I'm almost 80, I can still keep learning. And I think that's the first thing. You need to have this mindset that believes that you can continue learning and growing. And I think that's an important thing for leaders to be aware of. So that's one piece. The second piece is about your approach. And your approach is about what do you actually do? What are the steps that you take to communicate and approach the tasks that you take? You know, a lot of people are on what I call mental autopilot. So what that means is a lot of leaders are going through the motion, but they're not aware of their approach until I say, oh, tell me how you did that. And they start reflecting back. And then they realize there might be an easier, a more effective way to do something. And that's what approach is about. And the third piece is about impact. And I think the most important imperative for a leader today is to have the ability to mobilize their people. And that's where impact comes in. Because today, if you're not a leader that knows how to mobilize people, that means your impact is off. You're impacting them in a negative way. Gone are the days when you could be a traditional dictatorial top-down leader yelling at people and, you know, letting the bodies fall wherever they are. Today, it is about the impact. Because if I'm going to continue working with you, you need to actually have a strategy to engage me, empower me, and get me to want to walk over cut glass for you. And that's what impact is about.
We all want to be more productive in our work, but in today's world, it's particularly easy to get distracted. What are some of the most common distractions that we deal with that get in the way of our productivity and leadership?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. Like, we all know that distractions are around. But what I've found is there's really two different categories of distraction. The first one is what I call internal distractions. These are the things that we can control, but we need to be aware of it. And the three that I explore in the book, the first one is just lack of energy. You know, I'm noticing that people are traveling so hard, they're going so fast, they're not taking the time to recharge their batteries. And I think what that means is they're losing their energy, they're losing their focus, and they're not making as good enough decisions as they could or they should. So that's the first distraction. The second one is about the wrong mindset and self-doubt. What I'm finding is a lot of people, when they're thrust into a role of leadership, they start doubting themselves. They may not have the title of manager or leader, and they haven't done it before. Or it could be a lot of leaders I'm working with right now where there's so many new technology and innovations coming that they're not really sure what's going to happen next. And they start doubting their ability to mobilize their people. And that's the second distraction. The third one is around what I call time fillers and the biological need to be busy. What I'm noticing is because digital technology is so fast, everybody wants to be busy. And what I'm noticing is, unfortunately, when we feel busy all the time, what it means is we're not thinking. We go on to, as I mentioned earlier, we go into autopilot. And I think that's what people need to be aware of. Am I just doing something to do it? Or is it actually something that is actually serving me and going to help me get some things finished? So those are the three internal. There's also two what I call external distractions. One of them is technology, right? And technology, you know, I love technology. I love the internet. I love, you know, my iPhone and everything else. But what we're finding is technology is starting to take over our lives. So I've got, you know, CEOs and leaders I work with that are sending emails at 3 and 4 in the morning because they just can't keep up anymore. You know, I know people that constantly are checking their inbox because they just want to actually make sure they're on top of everything. And the challenge with that means they can't really focus on the important things that are right in front of them. And the second external one is interruptions that steal your time, right? And having a way to limit those interruptions that come in. So those are kind of the common distractions that people have to overcome.
So it sounds like part of the solution is time management. That's a big issue for many people. So what advice do you have in regard to managing our time?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I actually don't believe people can manage time. I think it's about managing your activity and your focus. One common activity or exercise I use with a lot of leaders is I get them to take a clean sheet of paper or an iPad, and I get them to map their current role, their current activity for the last 2 weeks. And they'll map it out, you know, and they might go, I've got this meeting and I've done this and I've done this. And what I then do is I get them to actually identify what percentage of time are they spending on each of those areas. And then what I get them to do is go, all right, forget about what you have been doing the last couple of weeks. With a clean sheet of paper, I want you to now map out, ideally, what would you be focusing on if you were going to be as effective as you could? And what I find, 9 times out of 10, the different maps of what they're currently doing versus ideally what they would be doing are different. And either they're not focusing on the things that they should, or the thing that I find more often is they're spending too much time on areas that aren't important. So they're not delegating them, or they're not limiting some of that kind of distractions of getting overwhelmed with some of those areas. And I think that's a really big key. People need to focus on what activity they're actually spending and investing their time in.
Let's talk a bit about how to be more productive once we've identified those things. You study this a lot. What are some of your favorite productivity hacks?
Yeah, I think one big one is about email, you know, in your inbox. Like, we all know that email is here to stay. That's one of the most common ways to communicate. You can't just, you know, get rid of your email program. You have to have something. And there's a couple of really clever hacks that I found. One of them was by an author named Kevin Cruz. And he's kind of studied time management habits of billionaires and entrepreneurs and Olympic athletes. And he has a system called 3-2-1-0, which is very clever. So what he advocates is with your inbox for your email, you only check it 3 times a day. Now, that's going to be really challenging for people, right? For me personally, I'll probably do it about 7 times a day, about once an hour during the working day. But the other piece is 21-0. So what he advocates, and it's a great strategy, is you only allocate 21 minutes to get your inbox to zero. You set a timer on your phone. And I think the reason why this works so well is it makes it a game. It gamifies it. Rather than, I talked to somebody not too long ago, and they had like over 10,000 emails in their inbox. you know, which means just cluttering it up. They're not going to go back through it. And I'm going, well, this is a really simple hack that you could take just to actually keep that inbox clear. There's also what I call a four-step email inbox hack. And this came from a really senior manager. She oversees Asia Pacific, about 15 different countries. And she's probably one of the most productive senior executives I know. And everybody goes, I can't believe she gets through all the information she does. And I spent some time with her. And what I noticed is when she goes through her email, she hacks it using a four-step process. So the first step she does is she just scans. She doesn't click in. She doesn't read through. She does a quick scan. And the second step is she deletes. Anything that's not important, not relevant, she just clears and deletes it straight away. Her third step is she starts sorting, which means to start prioritizing. All right, what are the important and urgent things that I need to address? And then her fourth step, of course, is to then respond to those based on the most important. So just a simple little hack on your inbox can save you a tremendous amount of time.
It seems like technology can be a mixed bag. So how do you think that technology impacts leadership?
I think for a lot of leaders, they don't know how to manage the technology or they hide behind it. You know, so if you think over time, you know, some leaders are proactive, some are reactive, some are constructive, and some are dictatorial. And what I'm finding, the technology just amplifies the style of the leader. So that means some leaders, you know, you don't hear anything from them. And even the emails, they just forward. They never write and give you context of what they want you to do. You know, so I think the technology can be a great tool. But what I've also noticed is a lot of leaders kind of rely on it too much, which means they're losing some of the really important face-to-face skills that they need to use to really mobilize their people.
So I want to talk just a little bit more about leadership itself. As you've looked at it, regardless of the situation, because, you know, we have leaders in all sorts of different organizations with different kinds of missions, are there some universals that apply, some universal qualities of leadership that you could share with us?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I found, you know, when I was doing my research is what makes a great leader? What makes somebody that people go, I want to work for that person? And what I found when I was doing my case studies and some of my research, one of the things that they know how to do really well is they know how to delegate effectively. And what I noticed is most leaders or most managers do not know how to delegate. Right. So what this is the typical pattern for many people. They become a first time manager and they decide to delegate. They delegate something to somebody who really doesn't know how to do it. The person doesn't get it done in the time frame they want or at the quality they want. And so what they do is they stop delegating and they take it back. And they use the justification in their head is, well, if I would have just done it myself on my own, I would have saved more time. And that's a massive issue for a lot of leaders. The leaders that are effective, they know how to delegate. And what I found in my research, there's kind of four levels to delegation. The top level is just level, I call it level four. You just delegate it. You say, just do it and show me. Right. And that can work. But what I find, as I mentioned before, a lot of times the leaders do that too soon. The people aren't ready for it. And what they do is they do a knee-jerk reaction and go all the way to the bottom level of delegation, which is level one, which is don't do it. You know, I'm not going to delegate anymore and I'm going to overload myself. The effective leaders go to what I call level two. And what they do, and there is a task, they'll sit down with their person and they'll map it together. They won't tell them what to do, but they might go, all right, here's a task. I want you to run with it. What are some of the components that you think you need to start planning for to make this happen? They capture it on paper somehow or digitally, and they use that as a plan and they check in and follow up with them to help guide them and coach them along the way. So I think really delegation and getting leaders to delegate how they should can really have a massive impact on the way they lead in their people.
Well, Scott, thank you very much for talking with me today.
No worries, Dan. If people want anything else, they can go to my website, www.scottstein.com, and get more information there.
Scott Stein's book is Leadership Hacks, Clever Shortcuts to Boost Your Impact and Results. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.